What up, friends? And thank you for tuning in to the premiere episode of this journey called the Ball and Buds Podcast. I am your host, Omar Fonseca, and today we will be honoring the life and career of Hammerin' Hank Aaron, one of America's greatest athletes, and we will also be discussing how racism and race relations from the 50s to the 70s still relates to exactly what we are dealing with in the world today in 2021. Anyways, let's kick this bad boy off. Rest in power to a legendary human being. The baseball world and the world at large lost a huge heart, a humble giant, and an icon. An individual that was able to put up the most amazing accolades and accomplishments while dealing with the most hateful, insensitive, bigotrous language, vile people, just spewing racism. And to be so humble and stay focused on your craft is just legendary. And that's exactly what we lost. A legend who was able to produce during the most trying time. Born February 5th, 1934 in Mobile, Alabama, one of eight children to Herbert and Estella Aaron, his father was a shipyard worker whose mother stayed home taking care of the close family. He grew up in the heart of the segregated South. He was quoted as saying, "When I was growing up in Mobile, Alabama, on a little dirt street, I remember my mother, about 6 or 7 o'clock in the afternoon, you could hardly see, and I'd be trying to throw the baseball. And she'd yell, 'Come here, come here!' And I'd say, 'For what?' And she'd say, 'Get under the bed!' The family would hide under the bed while the KKK would march by, burn a cross, and leave. Then his mother would say, 'You can come out now.' Can you imagine what this would do to the average person? Here I am, a little boy, not doing anything, just catching a baseball with a friend of mine. Now, I didn't grow up in the segregated South. I didn't grow up between the 50s to the 70s. I was born in the 80s. But being a brown man named Omar, I can tell you that I have dealt with my fair amount of racism in my life. Now, that I would never compare to what Mr. Aaron dealt with. But can you imagine trying to entertain all these people who hate your guts? They look at you and think that you're less than human. They speak to you as if you're not a human. All this while all you're trying to do is play the game you love and entertain the same people that are trying to take away your joy. Well, not only did Hank Aaron deal with all that, but he prevailed. Chasing Ruth, dealing with being taunted daily, receiving death threats. It is reported that during the 1973 chase of Babe Ruth's home run record, Hank Aaron received 930,000 pieces of fan mail. The problem, the majority of that fan mail was hate mail. I have read some of these horrendous letters and it is abysmal. Death threats, nasty words, letters full of hate. It wasn't until word got out that he was getting so much hate mail that kids started to send in fan mail to lift his spirits. That's insane. Can you imagine? Now, he didn't read all of them. Obviously, the time to read all of them, and that would be way more hurtful than just the ones that he read. He did read some of them, and he always remembered what those people wrote to him, and he used it to fuel him to get that much better so that he could lift up his people and become an activist because of the racial inequalities that he dealt with himself. So, because of that, not only did he surpass Babe Ruth and become the home run king, hitting his 715th home run on April 8, 1974. But he was a legend off the field as well. A philanthropist working to uplift the spirits of the black community, to show them that anything was possible, even in the face of massive hate and disgusting racist individuals. While chasing Ruth's record, he was constantly shadowed by bodyguards, his family as well, after they received death threats. He was quoted as saying, "If I was white, all America would be proud of me, but I am black." There were times during the chase when I was so angry and so tired and sick of it all that I wished I could get on a plane and not get off until I was somewhere that they had never heard of Babe Ruth. But damn it all, I had to break that record. I had to do it for Jackie and my people and myself and for everyone who ever called me the N-word. Speaking of Jackie Robinson, in March 1948, a year after Jackie Robinson broke the modern Major League color barrier with the Brooklyn Dodgers, he was in Mobile for a spring training game. A young Henry Aaron was in the crowd. He was there to listen to Jackie talk about all the possibilities that black people would begin to receive in the future. Jackie told them to study hard, get an education. But Hank, he wasn't interested in studies. Actually, the funny part of the story is that he actually skipped class to go listen to Mr. Robinson speak. He envisioned himself becoming a professional baseball player just like Mr. Robinson, to escape the segregation, to escape the hate. He was even quoted as saying, "Jackie Robinson gave us our dreams." During those teenage years, Hank Aaron played along grown men for the semi-pro Mobile Black Bears, which, by the way, if you ever looked at the players that they produced, woo-wee, that is some talent there. Satchel Paige, Billy Williams, Willie McCovey, all Hall of Famers, that's some craziness right there. He was then signed by the Indianapolis Clowns of the Negro League in 1952. They were a barnstorming team that combined entertainment with baseball, similar to the Harlem Globetrotters in basketball. After beginning that season with the Clowns, he was spotted by the Braves and signed in June of 1952. They assigned him to the Northern League, where he became the Rookie of the Year in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. He was promoted in 1953 to play second base for the Jacksonville, Florida team, which was a Class A team in the South Atlantic League, or colloquially known as the Sally League. And he was one of the circuit's first five black players. Now, during this time, imagine he is down at Class A in Jacksonville. This is minor league. He's not in the majors yet. He's not chasing Babe Ruth's record. He's not known in the mainstream. And yet still, fans hurled rocks. They mocked black players by wearing mops on their head and throwing black cats onto the field. Disgusting acts. The players knew to ignore the hate, with even the Jacksonville mayor telling Hank Aaron that he should suffer quietly when he heard the racist shouts. This was far away from before the death threats and kidnapping plots of his family and before the armed guards. But he always felt that once he put on the uniform and got on the field, he could separate the two, baseball from racism and hate. But as Aaron explained, off the field, the players couldn't help but feel the weight of what they were doing. Felix Mantilla, an infielder from Puerto Rico, who played with Aaron in Jacksonville and later in Milwaukee, told Howard Bryant in his book, The Last Hero, A Life of Henry Aaron, that the whites used to yell from the stands and call us alligator bait. Jacksonville wasn't so bad, but places like Columbus and Macon, those places were wicked. Now, think about this for a second. He said Jacksonville wasn't that bad, even though they were being called alligator bait. He said Columbus and Macon were more wicked. I can't even imagine what they were saying. Racism is unacceptable. It is a taught trait that is handed down by generations of parents who were taught that themselves. Racism is not something that we are born with. And yet, still today, we are dealing with racism and hate everywhere around the world. Not just in America, although, in the past decade, racism has reared its ugly head more and more over time as people feel more emboldened to speak their mind about how they feel about people of other races because they think they can get away with it. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. I guess it depends on the situation and who you're talking to. Racism is just unacceptable. I don't see how you could ever hate another person based on the color of their skin. I love everyone. I am a people person. I have friends of all colors, ethnicities, races, and I love it that way. I couldn't envision any other life of one group of monolithic friends that don't bring any sort of diversity to my life, where you can grow and expand and learn. And that's what life is all about. Is about self-improvement, self-growth over time until you complete the mission that you were sent here to complete. And that is what Hank Aaron did. In the face of adversity and massive hate, he completed his mission. He uplifted the black community, he changed the world, and he proved that hate could be overcome. Even back in Jacksonville, he was voted the most valuable player while putting up with all that hate. Or with the Braves, when the black teammates were barred from staying in the same hotels as their white teammates in spring training. But none of this could stop Hammerin' Hank Aaron. He played 23 years from 1954 to 1976, all for the small market Braves, first in Milwaukee and then in Atlanta. And he was one of the last five legends to play in the Negro Leagues. Speaking of the Negro Leagues, a few weeks ago, Major League Baseball finally recognized the accomplishments of the Negro League players as a part of Major League Baseball history. On ESPN's Around the Horn, Tony Reale had an impassioned speech about the Negro Leagues, but he also had a fun fact about Aaron that I never knew. He said that initially, Aaron hit cross-handed. Now, if you've ever played baseball or softball or any bat-wielding sport, I assume cricket applies here as well, then you know how impossible it is to hit with your hands in the wrong position. But not only was Hank Aaron able to do it, he was able to produce. He had these thick and powerful wrists that could get the bat through the strike zone with such force and speed that it didn't even matter that his hands were in the wrong spot. He was still able to hit home runs. The other fun fact came from Sarah Spain, who said that if you took away all 755 home runs that Hank Aaron had from his hit total, he would still have 3,000 hits. And that is just utterly amazing. There have only been 32 players inducted into the 3,000 hit club, and you could take away all his homers and he'd still be there? Wow. Just wow. The other wow came from, pardon the interruptions, Tony Kornheiser, who was describing the NL All-Star outfield of his youth, which consisted of Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and one of my all-time favorite ballplayers and fellow Boricua, Roberto Clemente. That is the most amazing outfield I have ever heard of, and I would have been in heaven to watch that live. All of them in the All-Star game because of their amazing accolades and accomplishment. And on that beautiful note, that's where we'll leave this story for now. This is only part one. Hank Aaron's life was very substantial. There is a lot of content there, so this will be a two-parter. I'm going to take you into the story of how he actually broke Babe Ruth's home run record with Vin Scully on the call and Craig Sager interviewing him at home plate. It's a beautiful story that I'm sure you will enjoy. Before we go, I do want to leave you with his amazing, amazing feats of baseball glory. He never hit 50 home runs in any season, but yet was still the home run king. He had a career batting average of .305 and made 25 All-Star games. Now, you may be wondering how he did that in 23 years. Well, there were a couple years there at the end of the 50s, early 60s that Major League Baseball was trying to help the Major League players increase their pension by instituting 2 Midsummer Classics per year. So if you made both All-Star teams, you made 4 All-Star teams in 2 years, hence the 25 in 23 years. Got to check out the rest of these stats, though. Number 1 in Major League Baseball in total bases, runs batted in, and extra base hits. Number 2 in at-bats, behind Pete Rose. And number 3 in hits, behind Rose and Ty Cobb. 3rd in games, 4th in runs scored. He won the 1957 NL MVP, 2-time batting champion, 3-time gold glover, and those record 25 All-Star games, earning them in every season except his first and last. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1982 with 97.8%, which still blows my mind that he wasn't voted unanimous, as he was 9 votes short of the first unanimous choice and second only to Ty Cobb in 1936. Now, since then, Mariano Rivera in 2019 became the first player to be unanimously voted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. And while I disagree, because I believe there were many more players before him that deserved that accolade, he was a great ball player as well. And great ball players, they're hard to come by. And it's even more difficult to come by legendary ball players that have a huge heart and are humble and down to earth. And that's what Hank Aaron was. And I want to leave you with a quote from former Commissioner Bud Selig. May he rest in peace as well. He said of Hank Aaron that he is a true Hall of Famer in every way. Besides being one of the greatest, Hank was a wonderful and dear person and a wonderful and dear friend. Not long ago, he and I were walking the streets of Washington, D.C. together and talking about how we've been the best of friends for more than 60 years. Hank responded, "Who would have ever thought, all those years ago, a black kid from Mobile, Alabama would break the home run record and a Jewish kid from Milwaukee would become the Commissioner of Baseball." Part 2 of the Ball and Buds podcast on the life and career of Hammerin' Hank Aaron. I am your host, Omar Fonseca, and as always, thank you for tuning in to our part 2 of the tribute to the life and career of Hammerin' Hank Aaron. And as I mentioned in the last episode, this episode will be all about the chase, all about Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's home run record. It is going to be awesome. I have a special piece of audio for you. The home run call from that day by the legendary Vin Scully. Oh man, when you listen to it, it just gives you goosebumps, taking you back to that day, the incredible call, the incredible descriptions, the feelings, the emotions, the energy. You can hear the background fireworks and cheers. Oh, wow, you're going to love it. But first, you know how we like to start things off here on the Ball and Buds podcast with Omar's Overture. So let's kick this bad boy off with a quote from the 1990s in which Hank Aaron told William C. Roden of the New York Times, April 8th, 1974, really led up to turning me off on baseball. It really made me see for the first time a clear picture of what this country is about. My kids had to live like they were in prison because of kidnap threats, and I had to live like a pig in a slaughter camp. I had to duck. I had to go out of the back of ballparks. I had to have a police escort with me all the time. I was getting threatening letters every single day. All of these things have put a bad taste in my mouth, and it won't go away. They carved a piece of my heart away. Now imagine. Hank Aaron is just trying to play the game that he loves, trying to play the game that he grew up aspiring to play. All he ever wanted to do was be a ball player. But because of these racist individuals, these disgusting, vile people sending disgusting letters and yelling horrible things from the stands, he wasn't able to bring that joy to the world. He wasn't able to play the game at his fullest ability because of everything that he was going through. Imagine if he was able to play carefree, if he was able to play with nothing on his mind. How many home runs could he have hit then? But alas, since he can't control the way that people were treating him, and because of the fact that these people that he was trying to entertain were trying to steal his joy and trying to steal everything that he had worked for, everything that he had envisioned that he would become, but he couldn't give up. He couldn't let them get to him. Not just for himself, for the black community, for all the people that looked up to him, and for the whole world. But he had to prove it. He had to prove that he could overcome the hate, that he wasn't able to give up. There were probably plenty of nights and days that he was sitting there thinking about giving up. I probably would have wanted to give up, but he didn't. He persevered. And that's the story of Hank Aaron, a story of perseverance. That's how he was able to break Babe Ruth's record in the face of massive hate. Quote from Dusty Baker about that world-famous focus of Hank Aaron's. He said, "Nobody had concentration like he did. Sitting there at the dugout, looking at the pitcher through the little hole in his cap to focus on the release point. Never saw anyone do that before." And little things like that are the reason that Hank Aaron became baseball's home run king, hitting his 715th home run on April 8, 1974. Way before the chase, back in 1957, he was already a star when he led the Braves to victory over Mickey Mantle and the New York Yankees in the World Series. In 1958, they actually made it back, but his Braves blew the 3-1 series lead and lost in 7 games to the Yankees. Sadly, Hank Aaron would go on to play 2 more decades for the Braves, and they would never win another pennant. Conversely, some fun facts. Hank Aaron hit 44 home runs, matching his jersey number, 4 times in his career. And his highest total was only 47 in 1971. But he was still baseball's home run king, which is insane. What? That's sustained greatness. That's longevity, folks. That's what you call that right there. Excellence at its best. Fast forwarding to 1972, Hank Aaron actually became the highest paid player in baseball history, signing a 3-year, $600,000 deal, which is about $3.7 million in today's money. This is rolling into the chase in 1973. The anticipation is building. Hank Aaron emerges as a national figure on Time and Newsweek, sought out for TV and newspaper interviews. He was even featured in a Charles Schulz Peanuts comic, which I thought was pretty dope. After hitting his 700th home run on July 21st against the Philadelphia Phillies' Ken Brent in Atlanta, he was very disappointed that Bowie Kuhn, the commissioner of baseball, was not there to offer his congratulations. Bowie Kuhn responded, saying that he was one of Aaron's biggest supporters. So he promised to lead the next ceremony with 714 and 715. Well, let me tell you something. When he hit 715, Kuhn wasn't present in Atlanta. No, he sent one of his lackeys, Monty Irvin, to represent him. Aaron never forgot that snub. In 1973, Hank Aaron hit 40 home runs, leaving him one shy of the record at 7-13. That offseason opened up a world of commercial opportunities. Even though Hank Aaron received very few promotional opportunities in his career, that offseason, TV manufacturer Magnavox signed him to a 5-year, $1 million contract in anticipation of him breaking Babe Ruth's record. But trouble was brewing as spring training loomed. Braves ownership had said that it intended to keep Hank Aaron out of its opening 3-game series in Cincinnati so that he could break Babe Ruth's record back in Atlanta during their homestand. They're going to be selling a lot of tickets. They're going to be getting all their fans there. So Hank Aaron was amenable to this. He wanted to please the people of Atlanta. He felt he owed it to them. But here comes Bowie Kuhn that said he had to play at least 2 games in Cincinnati, citing the integrity of the game. No, Mr. Kuhn. The integrity of the game would be letting Hank Aaron break the record in front of his fans in Atlanta. Nevertheless, Hank Aaron was in the lineup opening day. Luckily, he only hit one home run. Right? Luckily, he only hit one. After that, 7-14 flashed on the board. But Atlanta did not put Aaron in the lineup for game 2 to not threaten the record. After that, Bowie Kuhn actually threatened them with penalties if Hank Aaron was not in the starting lineup in game 3. How are you trying to make it harder on this man? Instead of letting him hit the home run and earn the record in front of his home fans, making it better for them, that don't make no sense to me. Because you're going to make more money on the game anyways if you play it in Atlanta. Luckily, Hank Aaron went homerless in any case. And they went home that following Monday to play the Los Angeles Dodgers before a record crowd of 53,775 fans.
And the crowd goes wild.
It was the fourth inning with a misty rain falling and nobody on base. Hank Aaron strides to the plate to face left-hander Al Dowling. Now, without further ado, the legendary Vin Scully on the call, ladies and gentlemen.
This clip is copyrighted by Major League Baseball.
Once again, a standing ovation for Henry Aaron. So the confrontation for the second time. Aaron walked in the second inning. He means the tying run at the plate now. So we'll see what Downing does. Al at the belt delivers, and he's low. Ball one. And that just adds to the pressure. The crowd booing. Downing has to ignore the sound effects and stay a professional and pitch his game. One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. Moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the deep south for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron, who was met at home plate not only by every member of the Braves, but by his father and mother. He threw his arms around his father, and as he left the home plate area, his mother came running across the grass, threw her arms around his neck, kissed him for all she was worth. As Aaron circled the bases, the Dodgers on the infield shook his hand, and that was a memorable moment. Aaron is being mobbed by photographers. He is holding his right hand high in the air, and for the first time in a long time, that poker face of Aaron shows the tremendous strain and relief of what it must have been like to live with for the past several months. It is over. At 9:10 in Atlanta, Georgia, Henry Aaron has eclipsed the mark set by Babe Ruth. And I'm sure films of it will be seen around the world, and you can hear Georgia around the world. Henry Aaron is now at the microphone. Henry summed it all up by saying, "I thank God it's all over with." And I'm sure he has thanked God many times that he had to do it to get it all over with, as he becomes the greatest home run hitter in the history of baseball.
And it was on that infamous day of April 8th, 1974, that a black man named Hank Aaron broke a white man named Babe Ruth's home run record. One of the most hallowed records in sports that they thought would never be broken by, at that point in time, what was considered to be the greatest baseball player in history. And this moment not only changed the course of baseball, but the course of the world and history, because it was mainstream that a black man surpassed a white man. And so it just brought with it a lot of amazing things as the acceptance more of black players. I'm sure in some places brought down racism. Probably somewhere along the line affected some people's minds, whether it was children that were seeing it, that were being taught things by their parents to be racist, but now they're not because of that. Or maybe even adults who might have been racist, but they were like, well, you know, he's a really good guy. He's humble. He can do the same things. And maybe they changed their mind. And it was not only because of those amazing baseball accomplishments, but also his accomplishments of philanthropism. And for all the things he did to substantially improve society as a whole. So on the 25th anniversary of him hitting that 715th home run to break Babe Ruth's record, Bud Selig created the Hank Aaron Award, which was given to the best offensive performers in each league. And then in 2002, 14 years later, he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom from George W. Bush. The citation said that he embodied the true spirit of the nation. After that 1973 season, Hank Aaron continued to play with the Braves through the 1974 season. During that 1974 season, his former teammate Eddie Matthews was fired as coach, and Hank Aaron was upset that he was not offered the position to become the first black manager. Instead, that post went to Frank Robinson a year later with the Cleveland Indians. After that, Hank Aaron had little interest in continuing to play for the Braves. Even with their reputation as being progressive in the New South, he felt he never received the backing he desired. And so following the 1974 season, he was traded to the Milwaukee Brewers of the AL to enable him to close out his career in the city that it began. He hit his final home run, number 755, on July 20th, 1976, off of Dick Drago of the California Angels, which sounds a lot like Ivan Drago, so it's funny because of Rocky. But anyways, eventually, the home run record would go on to be surpassed 33 years after Hank Aaron set it in 2007 by Barry Bonds, who went on to hit 762. But many in baseball, including yours truly, believe the record to be tainted. Yes, he took steroids. So I still believe that Hank Aaron is the home run king. And Hank Aaron will always be the home run king to me. But on a side note, that Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. I just think it should be on their plaques. I think him and Roger Clemens and all the rest of the PED people should be in the Hall of Fame. It should just be noted on their plaque what they did. Because Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before he even started taking steroids. But he still didn't. Hank Aaron, humble as always, said on the day that Barry Bonds broke his record, "My hope today that it was on that evening in 1974 is that the achievement of this record will inspire others to chase their own dreams." In 1977, in April, the Braves retired number 44 and unveiled a statue of Hank Aaron in front of Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, and then later moved it to Turner Field, which the address is now 755 Hank Aaron Drive. Hank Aaron returned as vice president of player development and then later as senior VP. He hoped that black players would be able to work in the front office after the playing days were over. But as he noted, it was always back to the back of the bus again. Which is sad if you think about it, because there are a lot of minorities now in baseball that play, and we are having the same issues in a lot of our sports. Major League Baseball doesn't have as much of an issue as, say, the NFL with hiring minority coaches, but it's still an issue that needs fixing. A quote from Jackie Robinson's 1964 collection of accounts of baseball figures' battles with racism called Baseball Has Done It. He said, "I read some newspaper man saying I was just some dumb kid from the South with no education, and all I knew how to do was go out there and hit. Baseball has done a lot for me. Give me an education and meeting other people, but it's taught me," he added pointedly, "that regardless of who you are or how much money you make, you're still a Negro." Well, the civil rights movement made historic gains during Hank Aaron's career, but he knew that the road to equal treatment for black people remained long. He was quoted as saying, "Any black who thinks the same thing can't happen to them today is sadly mistaken. It happens now with people in three-piece suits instead of hoods on." When inducted into the Hall of Fame, Aaron finally felt he was accorded the respect he deserved. It was always this player and that player, and then Henry Aaron. And he said to Ruth devotees, "I didn't want them to forget Babe Ruth. I just wanted them to remember Henry Aaron." Well, I can tell you, Henry Aaron, we remember you. And we will never forget you. And we will never forget what you did for America and for the history of Major League Baseball. You helped to change the game and bring minorities these days more opportunities because of you and other players from your time. And even though we may not ever be on equal footing, as long as we are learning to self-improve and grow and working to help others less fortunate than ourselves, then we can make this world a better place for everyone. And as always, here on the Ball and Buds podcast, we like to sign off with Omar's epilogue to honor God's All-Star Team. All the legends that we lost in 2020 and 2021 is an amazing list. At coach, Tommy Lasorda. Pitching, Tom Seaver, Bob Gibson, Whitey Ford, Phil Niekro, Don Sutton, and Don Larson. Infielders, Joe Morgan, Tony Fernandez, Dick Allen. And outfielders, Lou Brock, Al Kanine, and finally, Hank Aaron. Rest in power, baseball kings. I would also be remiss if I didn't say happy birthday to the late, great Hammerin' Hank Aaron. It is fitting that as we sign off on this part two of the tribute to his life and career, that we will be recording this episode on his first birthday after he passed. Rest in peace, and thank you. On that note, thank you for tuning in, my friends. Make sure to support your boy, and as always, subscribe to stay updated and download all the new episodes. Until then, stay safe, take care of yourself, be kind to each other, and spread love the Omar way. Holla! 5,000.